send you the recording.
You'll send me the recording?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I have an online file folder.
Okay, fine. Tonight is Tuesday evening, November 19th. This is the Women's Gemara Share. Starting a new topic today. The topic is the Mitzvah of Hallel. Okay, Rabotai. So we spent the last 4 or 5 weeks.
No.
We spent the last 4 or 5 weeks on whether mitzvot tzrichot kavana. Today, we're going to start a new topic, again, looking to identify a variety of issues concerning the mitzvah of the recitation of Hallel. I want to dedicate this particular shir to the memory of Penina Perel Etel, Bas Leah Pesha V'Chanoch Henoch, that is Yocheved's mother-in-law, JJ's mother, who was a dynamite of a woman, just to say briefly, really, in so many different areas, in terms of her learning, her humor, her concern for people, certainly lived a wonderful life, a full life. And we dedicate this year Le'ilui Nishmata, as tonight is her first yard site. So, if you take a look at the first sheet, the first issue which we're going to focus on today is whether the mitzvah of Hallel, which we recite according to a braita in Masechet Erchin, we're going to see it next week, it says that we recite Hallel 18 times a year. And in Chutz La'aretz, 21 times a year. One is obligated to recite Hallel. 8 days of Sukkot, 8 days of Hanukkah, 1 day of Pesach, and 1 day of Shavuot. 18 days in which you are obligated to recite the Hallel. In Chutz La'aretz, there is the 9th day of Sukkot, which we call Simchat Torah, the 2nd day of Pesach, and the 2nd day of Shavuot. Rosh Chodesh is not mentioned in the Braita as an obligation to recite Hallel. We'll come across that a little later as well. But I want to focus today on some of the sources that are found. This is a Gemara in Psachim, that's erased on the top. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph in Masechet Psachim. Which there are various statements made about the mitzvah of Hallel. So let's read. Omar Av Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Shir Shebatorah, the song in the Torah, which we call Az Yashir, Moshe V'Yisrael Amruha B'Sha'ah She'alu Min Hayam. When they escaped from the Yamsuf safely, emerged on the other side, and watched Paro and his gang drown in the Yamsuf, that was recited by Moshe and Am Yisrael. V'Hallel ze mi Amro, who composed the Hallel that we recite? Because the Gemara, this statement is in the middle of a Gemara, which tells us, the Mishnah says that on Pesach night, you're supposed to say Hallel. During the Haggadah, you're supposed to say Hallel. They have the 4th kos, is the recitation of Hallel. So who said, who composed this? Says the Gemara, Nevi'im Shebeinehem, the Nevi'im amongst Am Yisrael, Tiknu Lohen Li Yisrael, established for all of Am Yisrael, Shiyu Orin Oso, that it should be said, Al Kol Perek Uperek, every season, perek or perek means a particular chag, actually. Ve'al kol tzara litzara shetavo shelo tovo lohen. And for every trouble that did not come upon them. it means the trouble did come upon them, but you don't want to say that we're going to be exposed and afflicted with trouble. Ukishini galin, and when they are delivered from that particular trouble, omrin oto al geulatan, they say Hallel as a tribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu having been delivered from that crisis. So it tells us that Nivi'in Shebeinehen Tiknu. It doesn't tell us who these prophets are, and it doesn't tell us when these prophets lived who made this particular Tapana. Yes?
Except for Pesach, we're not... There's no bad thing that happened to us. Shavuos, nothing happened. We got the Torah.
Good. Good. Okay.
Sukkos too.
Okay. Well, Sukkos, we were faced with the desert.
Oh, okay.
But it was done for protection. So...
Also, wasn't it Miriam who was singing initially when they crossed over Yom Suf?
Yeah. She sang with the women.
Right, she didn't write it.
She didn't write it. No, she said what she said. Moshe had already said it for the men. Then Miriam picked up and said virtually the same thing. Shiru Lashem ki ga'o ga'a susrofo rama vayam. So here there is a reference to this Hallel. It doesn't tell us who these Nevi'im are, and it doesn't tell us when these Nevi'im made this takana, that it should be recited at every appropriate occasion, and particularly when you're in confronting a difficulty and you are redeemed from it, you recite the Hallel. Let's just see a couple more.
Can I just ask one more thing?
Sure.
So they're describing this after being Kriyat Yam Suf, but we know a lot of it is from David and Melech.
Okay. So this statement of Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel does not seem to indicate that David is the author of this this Hallel.
Right, so it's a different Hallel.
No, it could be the same Hallel, but David HaMelech decided to code it into his book of Tehillim. That's what they will say. Because David actually did copy things from another book. Certain things he copied from Sefer Shmuel. So it's not unlikely that he heard about this Tehillim and he decided to incorporated in chapters 116 through 121, it's possible.
But some of it seems so much about things that happened in his life, like some of the Tehillim.
You can read, yes, some of the Tehillim, but not necessarily Hallel, not the Purakim of Hallel. So if you go to the second source, Tanya Rabbi Meir, Hoya Rabbi Meir Omer, he disagrees, and he says, Kol Tushbachot ha'amurot b'sefer Tehillim, all of the praises that are found in the book of Tehillim, kulan David Amran. David is the author of every single one of them. Shine Emar, look how he plays on a word. The word says, kolu tfilot David ben Yishai. This is the end of what? Of the psalms composed by David. Because there are others who contributed to the psalms. And therefore it says, this is the section that concludes David's. But Rabbi Meir reinterprets the word kolu as if it would say, Al tikre kolu ela kol elu. All of these are the songs of David HaMelech. So, if that's the case, the origin of our Hallel is much later. Much later than Nevi'im of the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's a single one, not many Nevi'im, but it's a single composition made by David HaMelech. Now, there's another opinion. On the third section, Hallel Zeh Mi Omro. Who recited this Hallel that the Mishnah is asking us to recite Pesach at night at the Seder? Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi said, Elazar Bini Omer, Elazar my son said, Moshe v'Yisrael Amruha b'sha'a sha'alu min hayam. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu composed Hallel, and it was recited, not only was Az Yashir recited, but Hallel was recited as well. V'chalukin alav chaverav. And his fellas, his friends, disagree with him and say, Shedavid Amro. David is the composer of the Tehillim. V'nir'in dvarav midivrehen. And I, Rabbi Eliezer's father, Yossi, think that his words are more potent, are more meaningful than their opinion. That indeed Moshe had already composed it. Why? Listen to this very strange argument. Efshar Yisrael shachtu et pischehen v'natlu luluvehen v'lo amru shira. Is it possible that when you took your lulav on Sukkot, starting at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, when he told us about the mitzvah of Arba Minim, so is it possible that a Jew would pick up his lulav and not recite Hallel? Is it possible that a Jew would slaughter his Korban Pesach and not recite Hallel? What a compelling argument. Compelling argument. So, and therefore, since there were Sukkot between Moshe and David, Hallel had to be in existence before David. Since there were Korbanot Pesach between Moshe and David, there had to be Hallel, because we are told that the Mishnah tells us that during the Shechitas HaPesach, you're supposed to say Hallel. Yeah?
Isn't it called Hallel Mitzvah?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that a hint as to...
It's called Hallel HaMitzri, yes. And that would be an indication. But that Hallel HaMitzri means, doesn't necessarily was composed then. Its focus is the drama of the Exodus of Mitzrayim. B'tseis Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. So that's to distinguish it from Psuki de Zimra. Psuki de Zimra is also a form of Hallel, but that's called Hallel HaMitzri. And this is not. So there is some debate here as to who the author of this particular, these couple of prakim are, and it's a little unusual that you're trying to prove that it had to be at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, just because you took a lulav and esrog. It is very possible that when you took a lulav and esrog, Moshe Rabbeinu told them about it. All you did is pick it up, like the primary mitzvah is. Ulekachtem lochem, you pick it up and that's it. And at a later time in Jewish history, somebody said, you know what? There is a pasuk in Tehillim. Az yiraninu atzei hayar. The atzei hayar, the trees of the forest, sing praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they said, okay, so say Hallel when you wave your lulav. Okay, again, it doesn't indicate that it had to be at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, but nonetheless, that's what some people say. Some people say. The most probable opinion happens to be that David HaMelech composed it. That's the most likely opinion, because he composed most of a good part of Tehillim. There's no reason to assume that he did not necessarily make this statement. But there are some very unusual opinions. Some unusual opinions. If you look at page number 2, and in the first section, in the third line, the first one just says that it was said by Moshe at Har Sinai. But in the third line of the first section, it says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yehoshua v'Yisrael Amruhu. Yehoshua authored and composed this Tehillim, this Hallel. When? B'shah she'omdu alein malchei Kna'an. When they were attacked, when they were actually, when Kna'an was defending themselves of the land that Am Yisrael were about to conquer from them. So what did Am Yisrael say? Haim Amru, Loilanu Hashem Lolanu, Kilishimcha Ten Kavod. That Hakadosh, we petition Hakadosh Baruch Hu that if we are going to what? Lose this battle, what will all of the nations say? Lama Yomru Hagayim, Ayena Eloheyem. That's a very powerful argument. And what did Hakadosh Baruch Hu say? So he just says, Lolanu Umeshiva, and then Ruach HaKodesh Baruch Hu says, Lima'ani, Lima'ani E'eseh. It says that in the beginning of that third line. I'll do it for my sake. In other words, sometimes we don't deserve to be spared. We deserve to be defeated. But it will lead to enormous Chilul Hashem. And once it leads to Chilul Hashem, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates just to avoid desecration of his name. But this opinion says it was authored by Yehoshua. Then on the last section that we'll look at, there are two other opinions. Rabbi Elazar HaModai Omer, Dvora uBarak Amruha. Dvora and Barak ben Avinoam said it, B'shah she'amar aleihem Sisra, when Sisra went to challenge Am Yisrael, Heim Amru Lolanu, Ruach HaKodesh Meshiva Va'omeres, Lima'ani, Lima'ani E'eseh. And then the next opinion says, Chizkiyah said it, and the one after that says, Rabbi Mordechai Esther composed this. All different opinions about when the Hallel was composed. So, yeah, when it was composed. And you, on page 3, you have even a couple of more of those. So if you have nothing to do tonight, you'll read all of these opinions about who and what time the Hallel was composed. But now I want to get down to the heart of tonight's shiur. And it is a critical debate between the Rambam and the Bahag as to whether or not you can count mitzvot midrabanan in amongst the Taryag, the number of Taryag mitzvot or not. Can one of the 613 mitzvot actually be a mitzvah midrabanan? So we are going to see on page number 4, I quoted here the Smach, Samach Memkov Sefer Mitzvot Katan. The reason why I didn't quote the Bahag is because the Sefaria doesn't have the Bahag. And I still can't get into Bar Ilan. There's such slow pokes in renewing our subscription. So, fine. So he writes, does the Bahag, the Smach, and he's actually in line with the with the Bahag. It's positive commandment number 146. Kuf Mem Vav. What does he write? Lehalel bizmanim kfuim. To praise God during designated days. Shine Emar, Dechsiv, he quotes a pasuk. Hu tihilascha, this or he is praiseworthy, and so the Smag and the Bahag quote this pasuk to say that the mitzvah of Hallel is a mitzvah deoraita. For Amru Rabotenu, be'eretz Yisrael shmona asar yom, in Eretz Yisrael, as I told you, 18 days, v'layla echad. And one night, what night of the year do you have to say Hallel? Pesach at night. Good. Ubagola, and in the diaspora, Esrim ve'echad yom, 21 days, Ushtei leilot, the first two nights of Pesach. V'chin, mi she'ira lo nes. Anybody who has a personal miracle take place for him. Kigon, arba'a shetzrichim lahodot. Yordei Hayam, people who traverse the sea, Holchei Midbarioth, people who cross the desert, Chole Shenitrape, somebody who was ill and had been cured, V'yotzei Mibeito Asurin, somebody who's been released from prison. Tsarich Levarech, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hagomer Lechayavim Tovot, Shegmalani Kol Tov. Fine. No, he's now offering two different aspects of the mitzvah of Hallel. You say Hallel as a tzibur on the shalosh regalim, and an individual who has something happen to him and is delivered also says thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the thank you is not the recitation of Hallel, it's what we call Birchat HaGomer. But the Smak and the Bahag believe that they are both biblically mandated. Mm-hmm. Biblically mandated to recite Hallel and to recite Birchat HaGomer. Birchat HaGomer. So once the Smak already quotes Birchat HaGomer, I just share with you two observations about the bracha, which we hear quite frequently in shul. Two observations. Number one, the phrase Hagomer Lichayavim Tovot. What does the word Chayavim mean?
Required.
A quad?
Required.
Required. Okay.
It's an obligation.
What?
Like it's an obligation.
Okay, that's what it's the thing, but that's not correct. Yes? Yes.
What'd she say?
Transgressors.
Really?
Chaya are the guilty ones. Yes.
Wow. I thought that, it was like mechuyim.
No, okay. That's why I'm making this pause to enlighten you.
Wow.
Yes. So it means that when you are facing and confronting a crisis, you're sick. I'm sick. You're traveling in a boat, in a little rowboat, trying to cross the Atlantic Ocean. Chances are not good. Not good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an opportunity to make a decision right there and then. You're guilty as charged, and you don't deserve to be spared. You don't. And he could have allowed the boat to tip. He could have allowed the illness to intensify, and unfortunately, eventually, you give in to the illness. So sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Despite the fact that we are guilty, don't necessarily deserve to be saved, I'm going to save you anyhow. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Gomel Tov, Gomel Chesed, to whom? Lechayavim. To people who are guilty and did not necessarily deserve to be saved.
Do we really believe that everyone who has something bad happened to them didn't deserve it?
No.
So why are they saying that?
Because there is a possibility. And I want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We always look at ourselves as not being worthy.
Yeah, you examine if something happens.
That's correct.
Always. It's just a bad thing to view it that way, like that here.
Oh, I hear what you're saying.
To be sick, you know, someone who's
I hear what you're saying. I hear.
Gabriella, did you share this on your WhatsApp?
Yes, I did.
Again?
Yeah. Last week. Yeah. Yes, it was on the WhatsApp. After when I had to say Berachas HaGomer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's number one. That's what Lechayavim means. And number two, Shegmalani Kol Tov. That God granted me all of the good that He has done for me. We do not say Shegmalani Tov Zeh.
This good.
I was sick and I was cured. I was in jail. I was released. I was traveling over the desert and I was successful. I navigated the ocean. I could have said Shegmalani Tov Zeh, but we never do. Same thing in the response, in the last two lines. Veha'olam omrim, and the audience, the people in shul, say, Mishigmalcha tov, or Hu yidmolcha kol tov sela. Kol tov. This is a very well-documented principle. That whenever there is an obligation to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for A, we take that opportunity to thank him for B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, N, O, P, O, Q, whatever. Kol tov. Everything. Everything. And this principle is found in several locations. Number one, Birchat HaMazon, every single day. The Mechayev, the trigger of saying thank you for benching, is the fact that you had food. And he granted you the food. But then comes the fourth bracha that was added on later on, and that fourth bracha says, Hu hetiv, hu metiv, hu yetiv. He was good, he is good, and he will be good. The Giants will win one day. They will win again. So, you shouldn't be so depressed.
But not the Knicks.
No, the Knicks won last night too. They actually blew him out. They're 4-10, but... So he's not going to be good very frequently, that's for sure, for the Knicks. Fine. So that's the second illustration where there's an obligation to say thank you. We say thank you not only for the mechayev, for the catalyst, but even for everything else as well. That's the Birchas HaGomel. And the Smak and the Bahag believe it's one of the 248 positive commandments of the Torah. Of the Torah. Oh, there are a lot of things that they can knock out. That's what the debate amongst Bonei HaMitzvah are. Everybody believes that there are 613 mitzvot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said that I'm giving you 613. It doesn't say any place in the Chumash that there are 613 mitzvot. It's a drash on the word Torah, Tzivalan. Torah is Bigamatria 611. So 611, Tzivalanu, Moshe. And two, we heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Anoichi and Lo Yielecha, the first two of the Dibro. That's how we know that there were 613 mitzvot. It's not the most compelling piece of literature I've ever seen. So all of the Monei HaMitzvah have accepted that premise. Not one says that there are 612. Not one says there are 614. But there is much dispute as to what constitutes the 613. And they also all agree that there are 248 positive and 365 negative. They all agree to that. All. So, now, on page 5, we're going to see the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot. The Rambam's book called Sefer HaMitzvot is a book in which he has two parts to it. He has 14 shirashim. Shoresh are the roots, literally. It's a long discussion about how he decided to categorize a mitzvah.
And it's 14? Is that what you said?
There are 14.
Another 14.
Exactly. So I told you. Rambam does everything in multiples of 14.
It's his brother.
It's his brother. Right, his name was David, Bigamatria 14, died at a young age. And the Rambam offers, there are 14 books in Mishneh Torah, 14 Shrushim, fine. Now, here the Rambam gives you all his rules and regulations, how I, Mr. Rambam, will arrive at my list of 613 mitzvot. So I'll just give you, we're going to read the Shorash in a second, but another issue. Do parts of a mitzvah count each one as a separate mitzvah? Or are they one mitzvah? I'll give you an illustration. The mitzvah of Arba Minim. You have to take a lulav, an esrav, hadasim, and aravos. Is that four of the 613? Or only one? So the Rambam has a rule. That if all of the parts are absolutely necessary in order to fulfill the mitzvah, then I count them as one mitzvah. Because you can't fulfill the mitzvah with only three of them. It's worthless. However, tefillin, he counts them as two separate mitzvot. Tefillin shel yad is one mitzvah. Tefillin shel rosh is another mitzvah. I could see somebody counting it as one. But Rambam counts it as two. Because they are not ma'akev one another. Somebody who has a cast on his muscle cannot put on tefillin. Can't put on tefillin shel rosh. Because it has to be, shel yad rather. It has to be al yodefa. And it's not. It's on the cast. But he can wear tefillin shel rosh. Or somebody lost his tefillin shel rosh. So he can just put on his tefillin shel yad. So since they can function independently, Rambam, in one of his Shorashim, says, I'm going to count them as two separate mitzvot. Not everybody agrees with him, but that's the Rambam. So here, Rambam is going to attack. His point of departure in his very first Shoresh is the Bahag, who counted seven mitzvot midirabbanan amongst the 613. The Bahag counted the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. As one of the Baha'i, one of the 613. The Baha'i, he counts the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah lights as one of the 613. This is, you know, I know, that's what the rabbi was going to want to know.
So before that, there were only 612?
No.
Right.
Of course not. It's just the Baha'is count. So, but there are some mitzvot that the Rambam and others counted that he had to omit.
Right. Because anything historical, we're going to come up with that issue.
Of course. How could that be? So therefore, the Bahag had a different reading of that Gemara that I quoted to you. The Gemara said 613 mitzvot. There are 613 mitzvot. Our text reads 613 mitzvot nimsuru lemoshe besina. That's the way our text reads.
Right.
Were given to Moshe at Sinai. The Bahag obviously didn't have that text. Because he's not stupid. He knows that Megillah was not given at Sinai. He knows that Hanukkah was not given at Sinai.
But somebody like him who counts these Durabanans as part of the Tariyah, do they find like a textual reference to say...
Absolutely not.
No?
No. He acknowledges that they're the Rabbanan. But there are 613 mitzvot. But it doesn't have to be that they were given at Sinai. So it's a little difficult, and the Rambam's going to take him to task for that as well. But first I want to do the following. So he writes, She'ein ra'ui limnot biklal hazeh, HaMitzvot Shehein Midrabanan. First statement of the Rambam's mouth. Do never count amongst the 613 any mitzvah which is Midrabanan. Da. Kizeh ha'inyan. Lo haya ra'uy le'orer alav leva'aro. This topic, this statement that I just made, is so simple that it doesn't deserve any further elaboration. Yeah. But then he goes on for 12 pages. 12 pages in that first shoresh. I only gave you the first two. Yes?
But we do say Asher Kedishan Mitzvah Sabbath's Mitzvah.
Good. The Gemara asks that question. We'll get to it a little later. The Gemara asks that question in Masechet Shabbat in the context of Ner Chanukah. How do you say Asher Kedishan Mitzvah Tam? And the Gemara provides two answers. One, She'al avicha v'yageidcha. Ask your pop. Did your pop buy the Hanukkah candles? Yeah. Ask him what he's... So, he said, going back to who knows where. So, they told you. That's what the Torah says. Ask your pop what to do. Pop said light candles. So, the Torah is telling you, listen to pop and mom. So, once the Torah is telling you to listen to pop and mom, you can say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu.
You can go on anything
then. Correct. Of course you can.
But maybe you were given like a model that, like, for example, with Hallel, you're supposed to be able to say it every time you were delivered from something.
Good.
So, same
yes.
idea.
Yes. A second answer that the Gemara gives is based on the pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, Lo tasur mikol hadavar asher yarucha yaminu smol. Do not deviate, not to the right, not to the left, from anything that the rabbis tell you what to do. So every mitzvah lo ta'aseh, every mitzvah midrabanan is subsumed under lo tasur. Lo tasur. And the Rambam took that seriously. And the Ramban says that means that a mitzvah midrabanan is more severe than a mitzvah midoraisa. Because a mitzvah midrabanan is now covered by a lav. A mitzvah midoraisa is not covered by a lav, it's just an aseh. So he goes crazy. I don't want to go into that now. But anyhow, see, he says, Ki acha shahaya lashon ha-talmud, taryag mitzvot ne'emru l'moshe bisinai. His text obviously read, the Gemara in Makos, that there are 613 mitzvot that were given to Moshe at Sinai. Eich nomar bidavar hahu shehu midrabanan shehu michlal aminyan. How could anybody then say that you're going to count in this list anything which is only midrabanan? Aval he'irunu alav, but we, meaning he, has been awakened to talk about it for 14 pages. Mipnei shita'u bo rabin, because lots of my predecessors made a mistake. Umanu, and they counted, ner Chanukah, umikra Megillah, michlal mitzvot aseh, amongst the 248 mitzvot aseh. V'chein, mea brachot b'chol yom, the fact that you're supposed to recite 100 blessings every day. V'nichum avelim, to go be menachem avel. Ubikur cholim, and to go visit the sick. Ukfuras mason. V'halboshas arumim, providing clothing for people who don't have clothing. V'chishuv tkufos, and the calculations of how we come about to make the seasons, whether it's a leap year or not, all of that is counted as a mitzvah. Ushmona asar yom ligmara sahalel. And the 18 days to recite the halel. Now, look what the Rambam is doing.
Yes.
He's listing as one of his attacks is the mitzvah of halel, because, as I will show you, he believes that halel is only midrabanan. But we just learned the smag in the bag, they said it's doraisa. So what are you hacking your cup? Don't attack him from halal. I can understand you want to attack him from Hanukkah and Purim. Fine. Everyone knows that they're the Rabbana. But halal is midoraisa according to the smag and the Baha'i.
And you could see that it was by Ashashir. Right?
Yes, that's correct. But the Rambam couldn't imagine that there was any pasuk in the Torah that would actually indicate that you're supposed to recite out. He couldn't imagine it. And therefore he said, I can't believe that the Bahag thought it was the Raisa. So he says it was the Rabbanan, and yet what did he do? He counted it. Therefore I got to attack him. Therefore I have to attack him. Then he writes, V'histakel, use your brains. Mimi sheyishma lishonam, to anybody who will pay attention to what they said. Ne'emru l'moshe b'sinai. These 613 were given to Mo at Sinai. V'yimne, and he will count. Kriyas ha'halel sheshibach lo David olav ha'shalom. Who wrote the halel? What does the Rambam believe? David HaMelech. He thinks it's David HaMelech. We saw 10 opinions. The Rambam says, of course, David HaMelech. Don't worry, silly. All the others, you got to explain some other way.
But when we talked about tefillah, we say it could be that tefillah was mitzaki back then, but not the text of the tefillah. No. So the same argument.
That will be a very simple defense for the Baha'i. Of course. Hey, Rambam, the idea of Hallel was the Oraita. The text was composed by David, just like Philip. Excellent. You're an excellent defense attorney for the Baha'i. Yes. And in fact, in the real Rambam, in the real Sefer HaMitzvot, there is, right next to it, is printed the Hasagos of the Ramban. And that's how the Ramban defends the Baha'i against all the critique of the Ramban.
Even Hanukkah and...
Yeah, he defends everything for him. Defends everything. But that is what's running through this long Rambam. How is it possible that if something is the Rabbanan, that now enters? So, the simple defense for the Baha'i was he didn't have those last three words. Shine'emru l'Moshe b'Sinai. That is why it is so important. The Rav's son, Chaim Soloveitchik, used to go ballistic with this. You're going to try to say a conceptual explanation like we do here, like his father did all day, to explain what's the rationale of the machloikis between this one and that one. Maybe it's just a simple, they had a different text. Different text. And that's why when you came to his shir, you had to check every variant of every source that the Gemara quoted. Every variant. So if the Gemara quoted a braita, you said, well, there are three different sources, three different variant readings. Did you check them? And he would call on kids. And if a couple of them didn't know, what did he do? He walked out. Lecture's over. Shir's over. He tried that once in Lincoln Square. Rabbi Riskin invited Chaim Soloveitchik to give a lecture series to people like you and me, just coming off the street, Balabatim, to come and listen to Chaim Soloveitchik. And he comes in, he sent in the Maron Mekomos, and he asked somebody to, you know, the guy hadn't looked at him in a clue, went around the room, he walked out after 10 minutes. So Rabbi Riskin said, Chaim, this is not Revel. This is not Reitz. I'm paying you good money. You got to teach the class. He said he did it one semester. He said, Chaim told me that I'm never going back there again. People, I'm going to give a lecture to people don't prepare. Crazy. So, that was Chaim. Yes. One of his very idiosyncrasies. Yes. Fine. Then the Rambam also, if you look at the last line on the page, just another one of his attacks. Hayolahem limnot nitilat yadayim umitzvas eruv. If you're already counting mitzvot midrabanan, why don't you quote a mitzvah midrabanan? Shlomo HaMelech and his Bezdin made the thing. Before you eat bread, you got to wash your hands. Or the mitzvah to put up an Eruv, if you want to carry in a Carmelis, or if you want to cook on Thursday or Friday, Erev Yontiv, you want to cook for Shabbos, you have to put up an Eruv Tavshilin. So we should count Eruv Tavshilin as one of the 613 mitzvot, because that's also a mitzvah midrabanan. So he goes on and on and on, and it's all based on the fact that he can't imagine anybody saying that Hallel is a mitzvah midrabanan. A mitzvah d'oraisa. He can't imagine. So go to page 7 for a minute. And we will see two Rambam. This is Perek Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah. Perek Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah. We're going to read Halachos Hey and Vav. Now, if you remember how the Rambam organized the book of Zmanim, times, the designated times. The Rambam's got an order. He starts with Shabbos. Then he goes to Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur has a lot of similarities to Shabbos, the Issur Melacha. Then he has general Hilchos Yom Tov. Then Hilchos Chametz Matzah for Pesach. There's not much in Hilchos Shavuos because there is no unique mitzvot of Shavuos. Then Hilchos Shofar, Hilchos Sukkah, Hilchos Lulav, Hilchos Megillah, Hilchos Chanukah. So where did the Rambam have an opportunity to formulate all of the laws of Hallel? Where did he have his first opportunity to do so? Where would you have put in the laws of the recitation of Hallel?
Yeah.
Where? Sukkot is, how about a little Pesach. Earlier in Sukkot? Pesach. Pesach is the drama of Hallel. You say Hallel at night. The Rambam didn't say one bloody word about saying Hallel, other than the Haggadah, that you got to say Hallel during davening. He doesn't even talk about it. You know where he decided to put it? In Hilchos Chanukah. And why do you think the Rambam put it into Hilchos Chanukah?
Because
I want to show it's what? It's only the Rabbana. So I'm not even going to discuss the opportunity to recite Hallel in Pesach, because then you'll come away with the misimpression that what? That it might be Doraisa. Anna. It's only, and he discusses all of the laws of Chanukah, we'll see it in one second, all the laws of Hallel, only in Hilchos Chanukah. So writes the Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Chanukah. B'chol yom v'yom mishmonos hayomim, all of these 8 days, gomrin es ha-Hallel, you say the whole Hallel. Umivarech lefanav, ashekirshuni b'mitzvoyse v'tzivuni, ligmaros ha-Hallel. Ben yachad ben tzibur. The Rambam had a different text. He did not say ligro es ha-Hallel, but he said ligmor. Ligmor does not mean to complete the Hallel, it means to learn the Hallel, like Gemara. Ligmor es ha-Hallel. That was all of the Sfaradim say ligmor es ha-Hallel. My daughter Michal, married to Ovi, Sfaradi, she now says ligmor es ha-Hallel. Ligmor es ha-Hallel. Afal pi shekriyas ha-Hallel mitzvah midivrei sofrim, even though it's only a rabbinic mitzvah, mivarech alav asher kedushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu kederech shemivarech al hamegilah v'alo eruv, you make always. Fine. Now go to the next page, page 8 for a minute. What?
Does the Rambam give a reason why he says that?
Why? He does. It's based on a Gemara. I don't want to go into it now. But now, page 8. Halacha Vav. Velo halel shel Chanukah bilvad hu midivrei sofrim. Not only is halel of Chanukah, which is obvious that it's only midrabanan, ela kriyas ha-halel le'olam midivrei sofrim bechol hayamim shegomin bohen es ha-Hallel. The recitation of Hallel, no matter when it is recited only midirabanan. And he makes a point of emphasizing not only Chanukah, it's all of the days, and he tells you what all those days are. I told you them before. Ushmonasu yom hashem migumas ha-Hallel. Ve'eluhem, Shmonos Me'achad, 8 days of Sukkah, Shmonos Me'chanukah, 8 days of Chanukah, V'rishon Shal Pesach, V'yom Atzer, which is Shavuos. Avo Rosh Hashanah V'yom HaKippurim, Ein Ben Hallel, L'fi Shehen Yimei Tshuva, V'yira V'fachad, V'lo Yimei Simcha Yaseira. It's not a day of external celebration, and therefore, there is no mitzvah of Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now, if you flip the page for a minute, to page 9, this is the regular version, the regular Rambam, not copied from the Safari's job. So, so go first to page 10 for a second. Go to page 10. If you look, I bracketed that little print is the Hasagas HaRavid, the Ravid's critique of the Rambam. And look at the second one, the second critique. Le'olam midivrei sofer. Amar Avraham, that's the Ravid, that's how he always starts. Abe said, his name was Avraham ben David. Omer Avraham, Abe said, V'yesh bahem asay midivrei Kabbalah. Hashir yieh lochem kelel his kadesh kan. It's a pasuk in Yechezkel. And the Ravid's arguing about the Rambam, who says that it's only midirabanan. And he says it's what's called divrei Kabbalah. You will find many mitzvot that are identified as divrei Kabbalah. Reading the Megillah, the Rambam himself says, is a mitzvah midivrei Kabbalah. Kabbalah has nothing to do with Kabbalistic literature. Zero. Zero. So you can go to the Kabbalah house in Florida. You're not going to find anything there that talks about Hallel according to the writer. Divrei Kabbalah means that a mitzvah may have been in existence from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was not recorded anywhere in Tanakh until this Navi made a reference to it. So why is it called Kabbalah? Because the observance of this mitzvah hinged upon what? Kabbalah. Receiving it. Child receiving it from their parent. The parent receiving it from grandpa and grandma.
Rebbe to student?
What?
It's not the list.
It could be Rebbe to student as well, of course. And then the Navi decided to write it down. I'll give you a half a dozen examples of mitzvot that are divrei Kabbalah. Kibud and Oneg on Shabbos. What is the Tanakh source for Kibud and Oneg on Shabbos? V'karasa alav Oneg v'likdosh Hashem michubad. Oneg and Kibud. So you mean to tell me, until Yeshaya came and said, there's a mitzvah of Kibud Oneg, there was never a mitzvah of Kibud Va'oneg? Of course there was. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai and told, make me Shal Shudas. Of course there's Oneg. Of course there's Kibud. Make sure you clean the floors. Wipe the floors. Wash the floors. Take a shower. Make sure you do all of that. But he didn't write it down anyplace. He told Gershom and Eliezer. And he told Yehoshua, Elazar and Pinchas, his three students, Yehoshua, Elazar, and Pinchas. And they told it to somebody else until Yeshaya decided to write it down. How do I know that an Avel does not wear tefillin the first day of Avelus? How do I know? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yechezkel when his sister died, Yechezkel, keep your tefillin on. Pe'ercha chavush alecha. You keep your tefillin on. So what does everybody figure out?
Otherwise,
must be that nobody else did keep it on. So you mean to tell me from Moshe Rabbeinu and Yehoshua and David HaMelech, everybody what? Wore tefillin during Avelus? No. It was Divrei Kabbalah. And Yechezkel was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please write it down. So here too, says the Ravid, I don't agree with Rambam that it's only a mitzvah midrabanan. I believe it's not quite a d'oraita, it's the in-between stage, divrei Kabbalah. And I will show you, give you a very practical halachic difference. If you're in doubt as to whether or not you performed a mitzvah d'oraita, what do? You know the answer. You do it again. Why? Sveika d'oraita l'chumra. Do you make a bracha when you perform the mitzvah again?
No,
because the bracha is only midrabanan, and we apply sveika d'rabanan l'kula. If there is a mitzvah midrabanan and you are in doubt as to whether or not you did it, you don't have to do it at all. If you're not sure whether or not you lit Chanukah candles, you don't have to light them. You don't have to. But if it's Divrei Kabbalah, we apply some of the resolutions that apply to a d'oraita, we apply them to Divrei Kabbalah as well. So according to the Ravid, if I don't remember if I said Hallel on the first day of Pesach at night, you have to repeat the Hallel.
Without a bracha.
According to the Rambam, you never have to repeat if you don't remember if you said Hallel on Shavuos or anything like that. Because it's only Midrabbanan, Midivrei Sofrim. So there are three opinions as to what is the status of the mitzvah of Hallel. One is the Bahag and the Smag, who say that it's a din d'oraisa, like one of the 613 mitzvot, one of the 248 positive commandments. Rambam is the other extreme, that kriyas ha-halel li'olam midivrei sofer. It's always a din d'rabbanan. And then there is some in between who say that it's divrei kabbalah, based on the pasuk in Yecheskel, Hashir Hazeh Yilachem Kileil Hiskadesh Ka. Now, we have the opportunity to have had in our generation to add two more dates when Hallel is recited, Yom Atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. And some people, you know, as you know, don't like it. You know, who are we to start making changes to the Braita? Which we had, but there's plenty of answers to that. And we believe that you can make a bracha on it, just like you make a bracha on Hadlakat Ner Chanukah and anything else, any other mitzvah midrabbanan. Yes, there was no Sanhedrin, there wasn't any Sanhedrin, but whoever the rabbinic leadership was and saw things accurately knows that it's appropriate to recite the Hallel and to say it with a bracha as well.
On the first page it is, definitely.
What?
It's by the rules on the first page.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
When people, like, survived the Holocaust,
yes,
would that have been, like, a reason to, like, it was a big miracle of people who survived?
Of course. Should they have said Gomel? Are you asking what he asked?
Yeah.
Of course. No doubt. Of course.
I mean, was there any, as a people...
I don't remember, no. There was even difficulty, there was debate and difficulty just establishing a day.
Yeah.
Yom HaShoah,
right.
So much fighting.
Some
Asara B'Teves and Tisha B'Av and this. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here and continue next week, next Tuesday night. Tuesday night.
Next week again.
Making a wedding.
Yes. I think it's easy.